I have a little different angle to bring to this because not in disagreement with anything that's been said, but it is my current experience that bringing the lightning of heavenly seed is pretty constant into what's right in front of me, and it's no longer discerning in my own head from my old culture what's supposed to happen. Does that make sense? So, like, there is a way that we sometimes, and Jeff and Kiahi both were alluding to this a little bit about, you know, some seeds don't grow and whether or not we put them in the right atmosphere. In some ways, it's far less about what the thing is than the energy that we're putting in and just trusting it's going to create a new culture. I don't really know sometimes the effect of the lightning bolt I'm bringing if I'm thinking about it from my old culture. It's like, well, do I let this relationship grow or not? I mean, that's like a cultural thing. Do I start this new job or not? Do I address this issue with somebody or not? In some ways, that's a level where we have to be really conscious, and so I'm not at all disagreeing with it. But if the fire of my being is pouring out, magic and the epigenetics of what's available is changing the culture without having to worry about how the form is or whether or not I should put more sun on it. So I'm taking this to another level of, we are powerfully doing this all the time in a way that our old culture can't understand. I really believe that, because there are so many ways in which I try to organize this stuff in my head or in my heart, of trying to figure out, will this work? That's the most basic thing. Will this work? And or will I upset somebody? Or whatever it is. And so the atmosphere that's been set by the speakers before me is all about knowing how to maintain heavenly atmosphere. I mean, that's what they all really spoke about. And it is knowing an attitude of gratitude or a gratitude practice. It's like making sure that you are conscious, stay present, pour yourself into whatever's happening, and just keep pouring yourself in. And I don't mean in a pushy way or a wanting way, like I'm going to do this because I want something to happen. It's because I'm present, and I'm going to love you. No, I'm going to love no matter what. That probably summarizes what I'm addressing here. I'm going to love no matter what. This might be hard, but I'm going to love no matter what. One of the very last part of what David said in expansion, I just want to read because I think it's relevant, especially considering what Kiahi just said. He was quoting Rachel. I appreciate Rachel Morrison's urging of us to get our hands dirty and do this for real. And I hope you know that if you are worrying too much about what anybody else thinks about you, you just can't play. I think about our public image. Should we post something more that somehow explains to the world what we're doing here? I've written things before, and so I'm not above doing such things. But you know, in my heart of hearts, I don't care. When I'm dying, I'm not going to be worrying about that. I'm going to be worried about this. Did I do it or not? And I think that's vitally what I'm hot about this evening. It's like, am I doing this or not? Because there are so many things that I have allowed to stop me from doing what I feel is the most important thing. And in many ways, it comes down to letting love out. And when I did the attunement weekend up at Edenvale, the theme of the weekend was love in, love out, what's constant and what's changing. And I think that that's pretty much what this topic is about with regards to seed. It's like seed is constantly coming from the invisible, and here we are in this earthly seed, but the seed of heaven is what's moving through us, and that lightning, that love current moving through us, through this and into this, changes the culture. And doing it together, there's a magnification and a exponential change than just doing it by yourself. But I can also say, if you're doing it by yourself, the impact is happening. Like, if you think consciously brushing your teeth doesn't matter, it does. Like a friend of mine always said, I routinely switch hands just so that I'm present when I'm brushing my teeth, because it becomes a non-present event. And when you switch hands, all of a sudden you're poking yourself. It's like, how do you brush your teeth with your left hand? Or doing something backwards of whatever order you would have normally have done it. It makes you more conscious about being present. Even the most sacred, holy habits become habits. Waking up in the morning and do your meditation, waking up doing your prayers before you go to bed, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to magnify the experience of your wizardry, you have to be present. You know, I think the Harry Potter movies and books were a huge blessing to a lot of people. They certainly were to me, in the sense that they stimulated something, even though it was imagination. I don't know about you, but part of me thought, this probably could happen. I did. I used to think, you know, this is not beyond what I believe human beings might have been designed to do. Just like I have always felt like teleportation should be part of what we can do. It's like, and you know, it's like, so what? I mean, that's just, why is that such a big deal? And in some ways we do with our own thinking. Like if I asked you to close your eyes and think of somebody in another state, do you think you're not there? I mean, attunement across the miles, you think you're not there? I certainly know I am. I mean, sometimes it's scary what you see when you touch into the energy of a person who's asked you to, or you're just conscious that something's happening for them, and you just hold them, and like, there they are. There you are in a magical space with them. You know, the piece I wrote, I did those two poems on Sunday, the one about a candle lit, the chime has rung. I breathe intentionally. I go into this sacred place where all the magic of the world is available to me. And one of the ways in which it's available is because I know I am connected to everything. I am the one planting the seed. I am the one doing the harvest. I am the one doing the weeding. You know, we think of weeding as difficult, but it's partly because at the end of the weeding, you don't have the fruit in your hand, you just have the work done. But we have sometimes thought of the work as being tedious, but without the work to get to the harvest, we wouldn't have the same harvest, right? And some of the work we do doesn't have a bow at the end of it, it just has sore knees at the end of it. I did two things today to break a pattern for myself. One was I still belong to this group of women called the Wild Wednesday Women. We used to have Wednesday lunch every week, and I've done it for years and years. Like, but then I stopped because Wednesday was the only lunchtime in my whole week where I didn't have meetings. So I decided I'm staying home, you know, and I didn't go. But I went today the first time in almost 2 years, and I just broke the pattern of, you know, when you stop going, now it feels weird to go, that kind of thing. And it was such a refreshing thing to be back with. I mean, I've known these people over 25 years. These women, and to just break the pattern, to be more conscious about, now I feel like going next week, of course I'd want to go, even though I really hate spending money on lunch when I have much better food at my own house, you know. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have tomatoes and cucumbers at home than spend $10 to have something made in a kitchen in town, or 15, or whatever it is. The other thing, I just kept postponing and postponing, but I finally took out the dead evergreens by the fireplace. And I just kept thinking, it's not mine to do, it's not my job, it's not my living, you know, there's events, it's their space, but I just thought, they have been dead since after Christmas, and they really do not bless the space anymore, and I just did it, and I still felt guilty. But I thought, it's really for the benefit of the beautiful atmosphere of our living room. I mean, did anybody else notice those? Yeah, could I have a round of applause for removing the dead evergreens? No, I'm just kidding. No, but it was like, for me, I'm a rule follower. And it's like, that is not my job. It's somebody else's job. Who do I, and I for 2 weeks have thought, who am I supposed to ask? Who should I ask? And what should I do it? And I just thought, just do it. Just get rid of those dead things that have been in there since Christmas. And I only bring it up not to make a comment about the dead evergreens, but there are times we have to let fire fall into a circumstance that might make us feel uncomfortable, but it's to bring life into the situation. And when we do that, there is a space for the epigenetics, the atmosphere, to allow the genetic code of a conscious human body to be born on Earth. Humanity is designed to be a conscious body together. And as we play our part, the new culture gets born. I'm not saying one should disrespect the rules or anybody's area, but there is a, and maybe someone in this room is going to yell at me for taking those out later. I don't know. Oh, no. I mean, if it was someone's job and they really liked them there or something. I mean, I seriously, I do think like that because I really don't want to be a bad girl. But to realize I'm laying in bed going like, should I, shouldn't I? You know, they're falling apart. It's I know for some of you that will seem crazy because you would just have removed them. But it's a part of my own culture that I have to break through, like doing it in a way that doesn't offend anybody. When in fact, I was stopping something from being born because of that track that was going. And now maybe there's something, like there are things that can go in there that are of the autumnal season that will be a beautiful addition to our living room. And maybe I'm the one who has to bring them, branches or whatever, so that it fills in the space. But am I paying attention to the fire that brings beauty and more life and brings humanity up into the culture of, as David was speaking about, do not look outside yourself for the kingdom. It needs to be revealed from inside yourself out. I find the experience of, as Rachel was talking about, keeping the lid on our own ecstasy is going to kill us. And I'm not talking about ecstasy. What'd she say? You're a tornado? Among other things. I mean, I don't think of ecstasy as being wild and amok or something like that. I think of it as the constant joy of being in your life just where you are with the people you're with. It's ecstatic to know I get to do this with you. I mean, really, I get to do it with you. And you want to do it with me. I mean, and even if you might never say that, the fact is you haven't run away. Yet. No, I mean, it's like there's nobody has a lock and chain on their ankles here. We choose to stay here because we're interested in the transformation of the culture from how it is to what's real, really being born. Ashley asked a question in FSC of David and I when we were done, we were talking about the heavenly seed and using quotes from the Bible, and I think the way she asked it is, well, isn't the heavenly seed evolving just like the earthly seed? And I thought it was a thoughtful question because the vibration of the heavenly seed doesn't change, but the heavenly seed does. It is newly being born, but it's still of the same life-giving vibration. And so when you touch into it, whether you've been around for 20 years or 60 or 80, it's still the same vibration that you can touch into it and know that's what's keeping it. That's what, who you are. That's your life current. And allow it to be the lightning on your wand into the world. So thanks for participating. Thank you for your gratitude and allowing something to be born into the atmosphere of that tonight.